While a treaty between Victoria and its original inhabitants is one step closer today, after the passage of laws giving direction to the process last night. The government hailed it as a historic moment with benefits for all Victorians, but not everyone agrees with the direction the process has taken. Many traditional owners have criticised the process for not properly considering their views as the custodians of the land. Co-chair of the Land Justice Group, Annette Shibris, is concerned traditional owners will be outvoted in the treaty-making process.
It's a great achievement to be able to have treaty on the floor, but treaty has to be between the traditional owners and the government. I'm personally just a little bit worried about community forums, because community forums are not direct links with the traditional owners. And as an example, in Melbourne, there's probably 2,000 residents that are Indigenous in Melbourne. And if we called a community forum in Melbourne and the traditional owners turned up, there were only 400 people, and something was put to the floor and was voted on in an open community forum, then the traditional owners would be outvoted 6-1.
The legislation sets up an Aboriginal representative body on the advice of the Victorian Treaty Advancement Commissioner, a post now held by Jill Gallagher. This body will then go on to nominate people to a treaty authority to negotiate with the government. Ms. Shibris says it's important grassroots organisations are included.
If you want self-determination, then it can't be people that the minister thinks should be in that position. Those positions should come from the grassroots people. The grassroots people should nominate who they want to sit on the table to negotiate for them. It's not a matter of whether you like that person or not, but if you're serious about the people, for the people, and a voice from the people, then that voice has to come from the people.
And in the end, traditional owners will need to be consulted.
Look, I honestly believe, unless it's people that are elected by the traditional owners to speak for country, then you can do everything you want, but you're going to have to come back and talk to us. Wouldn't it be better in the first place just to get it right the first time?
Ms. Shibris says the government could have gone to the bodies that exist rather than set up a new structure.
Aboriginal Affairs has a rap forum where all the traditional owner groups get together. And what they could do is just, instead of duplicating things, put the treaty in the rap forum, and the Aboriginal traditional owners or clan groups who have not got their rap yet have a meeting the day before where they can also sit around the table. So why set up two contrasting bodies when you've already got them there?
Deputy CEO of Reconciliation Australia, Andrea Kelly, says while there will be differences, she hopes more people will gain an appreciation of Aboriginal cultures from the process.
Yeah, there's many views across Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander communities, and I guess that's what's great about these processes. We can have these conversations, we can express our views, we can make sure that we're at the table. But I guess the common thread is that we really want to improve our culture and histories and experience. We want those recognised and celebrated by all Australians. We want to improve the relationships, and most of all, we really want a just and equitable reconciled nation. And this is the first step in doing that.
Ms. Kelly says the Australian public wants to see change in this area.
Reconciliation Australia, we have a barometer. You know, through our barometer, we see a really great appetite to improve relationships with Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander, with the broader community and with governments. And we firmly believe the Australian public's up for discussion on treaty and constitutional reform and genuinely want to see progress in this space.
It was Deputy CEO of Reconciliation Australia, Andrea Kelly, ending that story.